Hello, and welcome to the CFA Society San Francisco podcast, where we interview and discuss trends with leaders from across the investment and finance industry. This month, our host Tanya Subatang, Membership Director with CFA Society San Francisco, had the pleasure of speaking with Pooja Malik, CFA, founding partner and managing member at Nippon Capital. Listen in as they discuss emerging markets.
Pooja, hello. It's great to see you.
Hi, Tanya. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on our show. I'm so excited. So for our listeners today, we're going to be talking about emerging market. And who better to talk about this amazing topic than the CEO and founding partner of Nippon Capital. And your organization is focused on generating sustainable returns from emerging markets. So of course, I'm going to have to ask you, why did you choose emerging markets as your investment area?
That's a great question to start off with, Tanya. We chose emerging markets primarily because of the return opportunity. A couple of things I want to point out. Firstly, there is strong structural growth across EM. The IMF is projecting emerging economies to grow at 4% for the next couple of years versus 1.5% for developed economies. Secondly, there's significant opportunity to outperform because emerging markets are less efficient than developed markets. And when I say less efficient, I'm using the classic definition of market efficiency, which is how quickly does news get reflected in prices? So for example, here in the US, if a stock announces earnings, you see prices react almost instantaneously. And that's the classic definition of an efficient market. Versus in emerging markets, a company can issue a piece of news and you might see weeks or months go by before that news gets reflected in prices. And that's what I mean when I say emerging markets are less efficient. And therefore, that creates an alpha opportunity for us. So then, you know, the natural question is, why are emerging markets less efficient, right? Why are prices not reacting as quickly? Our analysis shows that markets are less efficient in EM because they are dominated by retail investors. Across emerging markets, be it China, Taiwan, Korea, India, Saudi Arabia, Malaysia, Philippines, retail traders account for anywhere between 50 to 80% of trading in these markets. And as you know, retail investors are not doing deep financial analysis. They're not necessarily paying attention to every piece of news that is coming out from the company. They are trading on what their friends are trading. They're buying glamour stocks. They're buying stocks that are on social media. You've seen the Reddit phenomena in the US and there's similar phenomena all over EM. And so I think that is the reason that emerging markets are less efficient. So for us, that's an opportunity because, you know, that's an opportunity for us to generate alpha and make money out of those inefficiencies and that mispricing. But that's a big reason we chose EM. To complement that, you know, whatever we do for us, the return opportunity also has to match up with our skill sets. It has to align with something we're good at. And we at Nippon are quant investors. I mean, you've known me for a while. I've been a quant investor for the last 20 years, initially at my previous organization, Barclays Global Investors, and now at Nippon. Emerging markets is a perfect playground for quant investors because we use data and technology to help us build models and pick stocks. Emerging markets includes about 7,000 stocks. And so it's very hard for a human being to process data related to so many stocks and so much information, especially in this world, right? So that's why I said EM is perfect for quant investors because we can use data, technology, models to process terabytes of information, come up with an expected return for these 7,000 stocks, and then build the best portfolio. So just to put it all together, emerging markets was the perfect match between Nippon's skill set and the return opportunity, which is why we chose to invest in EM.
Now, emerging market is a broad term covering so many countries, as you mentioned early, in languages and different rules and regulations. How do you invest across the region?
That's a tough one. And I often joke with my clients that emerging markets is not an asset class, except MSCI decided to make it an asset class, Tanya. So they put all these countries together that, you know, had at that time were classified on per capita income. Now, of course, you know, there's a whole range of other factors. But there's very little common across emerging markets today. The regulation is different. The versions of capitalism are different. The social structures are different. You know, you have India, which is the world's largest democracy. And then you have China, which is, you know, the world's largest communist country, right? So EM is not really an asset class, and therefore investing across these different countries is important to take into account the nuances in each country. So, you know, I mentioned earlier how many of these countries are retail oriented, and you might think, well, that's something that's common. Fair enough. But the behavior of retail investors is different in every country. So, for example, in China, retail investors have a very short holding period. Their holding period is only about 3 weeks. So they're constantly churning stocks. Versus in Taiwan, retail investors hold stocks for up to 6 months. So they create a different price impact on stocks. Or in India, where a lot of retail trading is camouflaged under the corporate umbrella because the corporate treasuries are trading on behalf of the owners of the company. So there's even something as broad as retail trading takes different flavors within EM. For us, the way we're able to deal with this complexity is that we build each of our models to be country specific, meaning we use data that is contextualized to each country. So if I stick with the retail trading example, you know, we're able to distill information or data related to retail trading in each country. And in each country, that's done differently. So in some countries, we might look at actual trading patterns. In other countries, we might build predictive models of what retail investors are trading. In a third country, we might look at margin trading, which is trading, levered trading or trading intraday. In some countries, actually, retail investors trade warrants or options. In India, the futures market is very active. So in every market, we're looking at the different instruments that retail investors are trading, and then we impute retail sentiment. So that's only one example, but as we look at fundamentals, as we build our value models, each of our models that pick stocks is contextualized to each market. And we think that is what allows us to harvest a lot of alpha effectively across emerging markets.
So many investors, we all know, feel comfortable investing in assets they know well, like
yes,
US, home country bias, but obviously less familiar markets seem very risky.
Yes.
What do you see as the risk for investing in emerging markets?
Yeah. Like most markets, right? Emerging markets have equity market volatility, which is just to say markets are going to be cyclical. They're going to, you know, have up years and down years. In EM, I would say equity market volatility can be exaggerated because of these retail investors that I talked about, because they're not looking at fundamentals, but also because foreign investors can be very fickle, meaning when investors from the developed world are investing in emerging markets, you know, those flows or that investment can move in and out very quickly. So for example, China, you know, which is going through a very difficult sort of couple of years right now, has seen most foreign investors have fled China over the last few years. We've seen a huge amount of outflow. And so that also causes price instability and, you know, adds to the volatility, right? Because investors are coming in and coming out over periods of time. Having said that, I think an important risk in emerging markets is geopolitical risk. And of course, today there's geopolitical risk everywhere in the world, right? But magnified in emerging markets. This is a year where we're going to see elections in many, many emerging markets. So that adds to risks. There are regulatory risks. For example, in the case of China, went with the corporate sector and put in regulations that hurt education stocks. They hurt stocks like Alibaba. They were fined. Stocks like Tencent. So government intervention in markets is a problem. That's a risk to be aware of. And then there are market access issues. Like Korea instituted a short ban last year in November. China issued something a couple of days ago. So there's market access issues as well that lead to volatility in emerging markets. Having said all that, risk can be managed. And we manage risk in EM through a variety of ways. One is we run a market neutral portfolio. So a market neutral portfolio has zero correlation to EM equities. It's long and short, and it's generating returns through the long short spread, but it has no correlation with the overall market. So that's a really strong way to take out equity market volatility and generate pure alpha. In our long only portfolios, we protect downside by holding defensive stocks. We take a very long-term view to investing, and we manage the portfolio in a very diversified way. So that also mitigates risks. Being defensive means we don't own a lot of very volatile stuff. For example, Russian stocks, which helped us when that crisis happened. So there's many ways to manage these risks in emerging markets. And at the end of the day, Tanya, the risk reward is still very attractive in EM. So even though there are risks, the reward is so much higher that on a risk-adjusted basis, EM is still attractive and has a lot of opportunities for alpha generation.
Wow, thank you so much for summarizing that. So then I have to ask, in your opinion, what are the ingredients to being a successful investor in emerging markets?
Like any market, patience, right? You know, investing is a long-term game. I've been doing this for the last 20 years. I expect I'll be doing it for another 20, if not more. So there's definitely, I think, a premium to staying invested in markets. In emerging markets specifically, I think risk management is a very, very important ingredient to succeed because markets can be down 50% and you could generate a lot of performance on the upside, but protecting on the downside is really vital in emerging markets. Combine that with what we talked about earlier, which is having a differentiated approach. Because each EM country is so different, I think taking a very blanket approach and doing the same thing across the 27 emerging markets is not really going to maximize, we think, chances of success. So to put it all together, I think a differentiated approach with a nuanced understanding of each country and each market, a disciplined, systematic investing process, as well as good risk management makes for successful investing in EM.
Thank you so much for that wealth of knowledge and sharing your expertise on this topic. I think a lot of our listeners are probably going to have to pause and take a lot of it because it is, as you mentioned, risk and abundant of opportunities all at the same time. Well, Pooja, thank you again for your time. And I truly enjoy talking to you. And I hope we can catch up again in the near future and see after all these elections and many of these countries you're referring to, how they're all doing.
Thank you for having me, Tanya. And I look forward to seeing you at the next event.
Thank you for listening to this month's episode of the CFA Society San Francisco podcast. We hope you enjoyed the engaging discussion. Join us next month for another new episode. This podcast is produced by CFA Society San Francisco, a not-for-profit professional association providing professional learning and career resources for over 13,000 investment industry professionals worldwide. To learn more about CFA Society San Francisco, visit our website at cfa-sf.org or connect with us on LinkedIn.